You are listening to Manufacturing Revival Radio, spotlighting the innovation, the business savvy, and the entrepreneurial spirit of manufacturers from here at home and around the world. Celebrate the can-do spirit that is bringing manufacturing back. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Manufacturing Revival Radio. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined, as always, by my friend and colleague, Todd Youngblood. Todd, how are you this afternoon?
Outstanding, man. Getting all packed up for our trip to Dallas next week.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Hitting the road and broadcasting live from a trade show. Those are always just so, those are just so much fun.
They are, especially since I got notification that all our equipment arrived safely.
Well, broadcasting live radio is a lot easier when you have all of our equipment. So that's a great start. But I'm looking forward really to the show we're about to present to you. I want to welcome a very special guest. He is the CEO and founder of Powis. Welcome to the show, Kevin Parker.
Hello. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you for making the time to join us, Kevin. Before we get into it, do take a quick sec and just tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Been in, of all things, binding books since I was a boy. I learned how to bind books in the basement of my mom's house. We had a print shop down there, and I started binding books for artists that would come in to make prints. 11, 12 years old, I started to bind books and had no intention of making it a life's work. Thought it was a good way to make some pocket money, and I enjoyed the craft. I learned the old. Yeah, so fast forward 35, 40 years, and been building bookbinding machines. Been doing that for this whole time, and we build, manufacture these machines here in Berkeley, California. We ship them all over the world. We have sales in 100+ countries, distributors all over the world, and we make a really cool little tabletop machine for binding instant books that can be all kinds of all types of binding, hardcovers and softcovers and office report binding. And that's been my life's work since I was a boy.
Well, I find that fascinating, Kevin. I'll be perfectly frank with you. 9 out of 10 of the CEOs that we interview on this show, a lot of them got out of college and said, "All right, what the hell do I do now?" And they fuddled around for a few years doing this and that, and ultimately landed in some job somewhere, and they went up the ranks and ultimately ended up being CEO and or buying the company, and they had no intention of working in that industry when they graduated college. But for you, it has been a lifetime work. And I was intrigued by the story about you were just so upset about the yearbooks in high school and all that. Tell us more about this life's passion and why that's so important when you're in business today.
I enjoy doing stuff. I enjoy inventing. I enjoy creating things. And that's what gets me up in the morning. That's what's what drives me. What's exciting for me. So I can't imagine doing a job that really I didn't want to do. I think that's really, really important for everybody, that they're making something that they can be proud of and enjoy what they're doing. Easy to say, it's not always possible, but it's great when it's possible.
Kevin, you've kind of given me the opportunity to just acknowledge that I got a degree in biology from college and never touched that subject again in the last 37 years. So
yeah.
We have that little bit in common. The thing that really strikes me about your business, first and foremost, is that, you know, what could be a more traditional manufacturing business than bookbinding and books? But there's got to be a very, very high-tech aspect, not only to your product, but how you build it. Talk a little bit about the high-tech aspects of what you're doing.
Yeah, well, the machines are pretty high tech. They're it's a tabletop machine, and it does a lot of the work that a whole room full of stuff used to do back when I was learning how to hand bind. A couple microprocessors in each machine that are running various motors and sensors, all this things, and we're for the different types of binding, we're looking at we're reading the adhesive on the strip to determine what type of bind the customer wants to do. So we are kind of our trademark on all of the machines we build is typically a big green button. And the idea is if the user can push that button, they can pretty much figure out how to get the thing to run. So we embed a lot of the intelligence in the in the firmware and in the program to run the machine and make it fun, kind of easy, productive for the user just to walk up and get done what they want to do, whether that's one book or a few hundred books, and get them on their way. And that's been a great equation. We sell a lot of machines into Japan and into Germany, all over Europe. Not most, but 60+% of our sales are overseas. I've always been proud of that. And that's really been almost from the beginning when we first started shipping machines. We started shipping overseas.
So. Are you still actually doing any book binding in-house, or are you largely manufacturing the machine that does the book binding and selling those internationally?
We manufacture the machine, that's correct. And we prefabricate like nice book covers with leather. So in a way, we're sort of still binding books like I did as a boy, but they're like prefabricated with the peel-off sheet, so that they'll bind the inside of the book with our automated little machine and then place it in these pre-made covers. So the quick answer is no. I haven't made a book since I was 17, 18. Actually physically bound a book and sold it to a customer.
Kevin, who are your customers? I mean, are these tiny little companies, giant organizations, all of the above? Who's your target market?
Yeah, all of the above. That's what's one of the things that's so interesting about this job. There are kindergartens in Japan that use our machines to make for the kids to have books of their work for the year. And then you go on up to Chevron and so on, that big corporate print shops binding all kinds of environmental studies and whatever else that they need to bind. But it's used heavily in governments and big corporations, and all the way down to somebody working in their garage self-publishing. So big range of people.
Kevin, I'm an old sales guy my whole career, since I gave up the biology thing. And it always struck me that it's a very different selling job if you're dealing with, to use two of the examples that you just came up with, selling to a guy working out of his garage or to Chevron. How do you manage to deliver a value proposition to such wildly different customers?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure where that's something that we've ever perfected. I've always been better at building machines and the products than actually marketing them. In fact, a lot of people tell us we're one of the best kept secrets, which is not a very good thing to aspire to. But luckily, we've had some really fabulous distributors around the world and in this country, and dealers, and they have a good sense for where to find the customers, and they have a lot of good salespeople on the road and schlep the machine around, take it in, do a demonstration, and get people excited. So,
all right. Well, we'll be back with Kevin Parker after this commercial break.
You're the new American CEO. The buck starts and stops with you. You need to have all of your business investments delivering a return and helping to serve your customers better and faster. That includes your telephone system. You need a proven, affordable business telephone solution that can keep you in touch with your customers, save money, deliver ROI, boost your bottom line, sharpen your competitive edge, and help you squeeze more time out of every day. Where do you get those solutions? Say hello to AML Communications. I'm a business owner myself, and they're my trusted technology advisor. AML spends my money like it's their own. They designed the system we needed without blowing up our budget, and it's rock solid dependable. Every day you make it happen for your customers. AML Communications helps make it happen for Dreamland Radio. They can help make it happen for you, too. AML Communications, profit-driving business telephone and technology solutions. Visit them now at amlus.com.
All right, and we're back with Kevin Parker, CEO of Powis.
Just before the break, Kevin, you were, I think, being overly humble when you were talking about your marketing prowess. And I understand you're doing most of your sales through distributors. So I want to change my question a little bit. What kind of conversations do you have with your distributors or a potential distributor that gets them interested in representing your product line?
Well, typically they've found us through whether they've heard about us, they know us, they've seen us at customer sites. So typically, when we find somebody, they're already pretty excited about the product. It makes it easy that way. You know, when we're looking for a distributor in an African country, for instance, trying to fill in some blank spots, that's a different story. And we're typically we'll be at a big trade show and meet these people, do a demonstration of the product, and if it looks like the right fit for them, then you know we start up a business relationship.
Kevin, I've got to ask this question. And I suspect it's not the first time that you have been wrestling with this idea, but we're starting to shift and live in a more digital world. You know, more books were sold over Christmas from Amazon than at the bookstore. How are you going to continue? I think I know your answer, and if you don't, I think I can give you a good answer.
Okay.
But how are you going to continue to thrive in this increasingly digital world?
Well, strategy's been twofold. One is to just keep make it easy for people to make nicer and nicer books. So, you know, less that needs to be printed, which is great because, you know, less trees getting cut down and everything else. But the things that are printed are now more important, and things that people want to keep a more permanent record or something that they can present in a sales meeting in a nice fashion. So, you know, we're trying to shift our products more towards the higher feel and nicer bindings. And then secondly, we're starting to build covers and cases, beautiful cases for the tablets.
I like that idea. Well, I was just going to comment that where I think there's probably always going to be a place for this high quality crafted book binding. There are authors that are publishing their book strictly digitally. To buy the main book, and where they'll sell most of them is just a straight up download from, say, Amazon. But
right.
They'll have a limited edition or a limited print run of 500 or 1,000, well, high quality print hardcover books that then become collector's editions, and it's meant to be kind of a special thing, a discussion starter when the book is sitting on your coffee table. I imagine there's going to be a huge market for that kind of specialty product, yes?
Yes, that's something we haven't even really looked at very much, but I can imagine that. We have authors that make a few books sometimes of something that they're going to publish if you worked on something a long time, you want to have at least a few that you can give to your family and friends that are physical to books. It's hard to get the same pleasure out of posting something online, I'm afraid.
I have to say that I probably have 1,500, 1,800 books in my house, so I'm one who appreciates the feel of a well-bound volume. Different angle on what Todd was just asking about. I noticed, Kevin, that you do have an online store where you can buy all of the Powis products and services. How important is that to you, and what other kind of things are you doing and thinking about doing in the online world?
Online, the most important features of that, I believe, are the custom covers that we're making. We're making these beautiful book covers that I mentioned for the iPad. It will be soon for the other tablets. And a customer can get this with their own favorite photographs, or an image of an old romance novel, or whatever they want. It's really a fun thing to be able to put one of these tablets, which of course in a way is replacing a lot of books, but have it be in a book and be disguised somewhat as a book. So that's an important part of the online aspect for us, because it allows the customer to interact, build a custom cover for themselves. On the sales side, it's not as important for us. It still, unfortunately, is our products are something that people often, in terms of the machinery, more often than not, people need to see it, touch it, feel it, hear it, and the internet hasn't been able to replace that yet. So we're still kind of back to a traditional sales approach where somebody needs to bring the machine into the office of the customer, have them use it, have them touch it, once we if we figure out how to make better use of the internet in that area, that'd be great.
All right. Well, Kevin, so it's no question that we're going through what has been a very difficult and troubling economy. How has your organization survived and thrived through this economic downturn?
Characterizing it as thriving is a stretch. I mean, I guess in the current conditions, we're doing really well, and I'm thankful of that. But it's been tough. I think it's been tough on a lot of people. But we've laid off good people and squeaked through some difficult times. But I think from a big perspective, what we did, we took some risk, and we spent a lot of money we maybe didn't have to develop a new product, and that's been phenomenal for us. That was really the key to coming out of this well, was having a new product that people were excited about. So, you know, if I could recommend anything to listeners, would be to take that extra initiative and, you know, go back to your core. Well, we developed a core product that was central to our business, so we really looked at kind of retracted and looked at what was most important and put all of our effort into doing something really great in our core strength area. That's been great. It's a good product, and people have been buying it, and I think without that we would be in a very different position.
Kevin, it's pretty clear from some of your earlier comments that you've got a customer base that's very decidedly global. I'm curious about the other end of the supply chain. Do you have suppliers that are scattered all over the globe as well? Talk a little bit about your supply chain.
Our suppliers are predominantly U.S. I've always had a strong loyalty to manufacturing in this country, and it's always been a concern to me seeing how much industry we've lost. 80-90% of our materials and parts for these machines and parts materials for the products we build, we source here in the United States. I feel that's an important part of our approach to the business, and an important part to the quality of our products.
Well, I commend you on that. Kevin, we're about out of time. I do have one last question that I just can't help but ask you. I understand that you do some business with the White House. So
yes.
Tell us how that all came to be, and what's it like working with those guys as a customer?
Well, it's a little more difficult these days. There's quite a lot of security, as you can imagine, to make a service call. Luckily, I don't have to get involved in that. But no, it's fun. Sometimes, you know, there'll be one of those picture moments where they're presenting a new budget or that whole thing with Monica, and there these reports are, and I can see our little binding strips along the edge, and that's always a proud moment for me. Good or bad news. That's the nice thing about the binding. They have to bind the report, whether it's good or bad.
Aha. Uh-huh. So those monstrosity budgets that are 8 inches thick, that's your product. I get it. Now I understand how valuable that stuff is. You got to hold that thick document together. Goodness. All right. Well, Kevin, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Powis Parker?
Well, check out our website, powis.com, and reach me at my email, kevinparker@powis. That's kevinparker@powis.com.
Kevin Parker, CEO of Powis. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps this episode, my friends. On behalf of today's guest, Kevin Parker, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next time on Manufacturing Revival Radio.